I am so glad to see each and every one of you today. Now, I'll tell you this, when you're up here in this perspective looking onward, you get to see everybody. So pay attention because I'm watching. But more than that, it's such a cool experience for me on Sunday mornings to see the people out there. I get energized when I see more and more people. So be careful. But I have a question for all of you that are here today, and I thank you for being here. The question is this: why are you here? What motivated you this morning to be here? Think about it. Now, for some of our younger folks, maybe it's because mom or dad made you get up, get dressed, take new clothes, get washed up, brush your teeth, brush your hair. They were here. Now, for some of the older kids, we don't have an excuse, right? Maybe you do. Why are you here? Ever wonder that? Well, for some of us, we come up with a lot of different answers. Maybe it's because we really wanted to listen to great music. Maybe we wanted to be entertained. Maybe we wanted to just hear the word of God because maybe I'm needing a little extra something in my life nowadays. Well, here's an experience maybe that you've had, and one certainly I've had. Maybe you've had it. When I drive around town, I do a lot of driving, I often pass churches. And I always try to notice their signs. Now, some of them have some really unique signs. They have little witty comments or jokes. I love those. But I don't know about you, but for me, even as outgoing as I try to be, even for me, I would find it kind of hard to walk into a different church, especially if I was all by my lonesome, all by myself. You ever wondered that? Isn't it sometimes hard to step into a new place for the first time if you don't know anything or know anybody? But, think of this, but if I knew somebody that was in that church or in that building, especially somebody that I respected and somebody that I knew that had a heart and was nice, then it might be a different story. I just may let my defenses down and maybe, just maybe, I would be open to a spiritual conversation and be invited to attend that church. So back to my first question. What motivated you to be here today in our church here at Bethlehem? Now, as you come up with those answers, I think the beginning of the answer, if I was going to answer, is people. Our people, you. Today, we recognize people. And especially this week in our worship here at Bethlehem, we recognize the people of what we call the LWML. And it's an acronym that stands for the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Been around for almost 80 years, and it's a way for people to get plugged in to care for other people. It's an official part of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has members across all the country. And the word missionary that stands out, as the name suggests, means that these people, they sponsor mission efforts to care for other people all across the world. And they do that with, they call them mites. Now, you might have even seen these. The LWML is famous for these little mite boxes where you could put pennies and coins. Maybe some people put IOUs. I don't know. But guess what? Over almost 80 years of just putting your spare change, that spare change turns into loving actions for other people. And almost $100 million has been raised with something as simple as this. And all that goes back to people. Like you and me. We celebrate the LWML today, but we celebrate people. And in order for us to really do that well, I want to do something fun. Each of you has a Bible in front of you. We're going to take out our Bibles today, and we're going to turn to a passage that we just heard in our worship. We're going to turn to that second reading from a letter that the Apostle Peter actually wrote. He didn't just be an apostle. He actually wrote books of the Bible, believe it or not. 1 Peter, that's his first letter, give it away. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. That's our theme verse today. If you can see it right up there on the screen. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It's a New Testament book right towards the end. And for those looking through, it's on page 1014 of our Pew Bible, 1014. 1 Peter chapter 1, this is what I want to focus on today. He says this, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. We're talking about hearts today, hearts of people. And as you inspect that verse today, I want you to take what you just read and heard and look at an image for us today. And it's this image right here. They say a picture is worth a thousand words. And you can picture today's sermon by looking at this logo of the LWML, and it quite means our hearts in his hand. So, as we're hearing this scripture passage today, and looking at this picture, our senses are firing, I want you to do one other thing. Think about a heart. Quite literally, think about a heart in a hand. Literally, a person holding a heart in your hand, or maybe even a real heart in a hand. Take a look at this. I gave away one heart today, but pastors have two hearts, believe it or not. At least I do today. This is an exact scale model of the human heart, an adult heart. It's red, our kids are right, but there's other colors, blue, and there's veins. There are a whole bunch of things going on here. There's four chambers, and it is the size of your fist. Think about a person holding a human heart in their hand. Think about you holding a heart within your hand. Anybody is a heart surgeon in the building? Raise your hand. Nobody. Well, today you will be. Think about your hand holding this heart. You see, that's what a heart transplant surgeon does. He takes out a diseased heart from a person's body. They do open heart surgery, and they put in a new heart. And I always thought that was interesting. How does that happen? Where does that new heart come from? Well, even if they aren't using a special way, it means to get a new heart, it means somebody else has to give up their heart. Most likely somebody had passed away and donated that heart. But that's what a surgeon does. He takes a new heart and puts it in his hand and her hand and puts it back into another person and beats. Today, that's for you to know what God does for you. Now, as we're thinking about a heart and a hand, do you see this image today? It's the same thing going on. But do you see that cross and the drop of water in the logo as well? Well, you and I all should, of course, know what that cross represents. It represents Jesus literally dying on the cross and forgiving your sins. That's what the cross always should remind us of. The love of God. And what does that drop of water in that heart represent, you might wonder? I'm sure a lot of you would know. Baptism. Baptism. And baptism simply uses God's word of promise, of forgiveness, combines it with water. And in baptism, God does just that. He takes a heart, a new heart, a pure heart, with all the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection, and he places it within you, a brand new heart. We heard today in our first scripture reading that was so well read, Ezekiel chapter 36 says this, long ago, God promised Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. Not a heart of stone that the world has caused and beaten us up to make, but a heart of flesh that beats for love. You know what? As you're sitting here, you can maybe feel it. And as God has showed you, God kept his promise. God has put within you a new heart. Now, unlike a physical transplant that lasts some years, a new heart that God gives you in baptism is a heart that will last forever. A heart that lasts forever. Now, lest you think that we're all just talking about church talk, routine church talk, let me pause for a moment. Why did God give you and me this transplant? Why did God put a new heart within you? You ever wonder that? Well, here's why. I have within me, in my heart, a whole lot of thoughts and feelings and ideas and urges that are sinful. And if you knew the inside of my heart and mind, I know deep down all those things, if those ever came out, I think a lot of us would blush. And the same could be said for each and every one of us today. What if somebody knew what was in your heart? Would you be ashamed? Would you hightail it out of town? So today we know that your heart, my heart, is by nature not pure. It might be beating, it might be full of love, but it might be full of love for our own self sometimes. And we call this idea about a sinful heart original sin. It's inherited before us that we can't even help it. It all goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And the fact of the matter is, on top of that, you and I still have thoughts, words, actions that still commit sins, even when we know we're doing the thing that is wrong. And sooner or later, what's going on deep down in our heart is going to be known. And that's why God has to give us a new heart today. When we go to a funeral home and pay our respects to someone who might have died, that person is no longer sinning. Thanks be to God, because God has claimed them. And when you die, that sinful heart stops being sinful. But we live for each day for God to make sure that we can keep that heart as beating for love as possible. And that's the wonderful mystery that we have today, that we talk about this thing called baptism. This is one way for God to bring us into forgiveness and for Jesus to put within us this new heart, to live for the here and now. Now, Scripture tells us this. We were buried with Christ by baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead, from the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in newness of life. Scripture tells us that in baptism, we die to sin. We don't have to go to a funeral home to experience that. And because our sin has died within us, that's God's way of giving us a brand new heart. Mysteriously, baptism gives us a daily death and a daily heart, a daily second chance. Yes, when a surgeon transplants a human heart, new physical life comes to a fatally ill person. But for you and for me, God mysteriously gives us a new heart of faith, a pure heart. He gives us newness of life. And with life that God gives comes love from this heart. Once again, today we heard from Scripture that having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere love, love one another from a pure heart. Now, I need to pause and make a necessary comment here as a pastor. When we hear this phrase, especially if you're reading it in the Bible, when it says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, it sounds like it makes you and I all about keeping the commandments. Well, that's not what Peter means. Peter is talking about faith here. He means that our new heart, our new birth, makes us children of the Father who trustingly look back up to him and give our lives to him. And being pure has no business about our doing. It's all about his grace given to us. Scripture tells us it's by grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not our own doing. It's a gift of God. So, with all that in mind, we could paraphrase it in this way. Now that the cross of Jesus has come into our hearts, as we look at this logo, now that the cross of Jesus has come into our hearts through baptism, through that drop of water, what comes from that heart is love. And again, this logo shows it so well. The cross comes through baptism into your heart, into my heart, and into each of our hearts. And a purified heart is surrounded by a much bigger heart. A heart held together by another hand. God's hand. It's a big-hearted place filled with love. Now, at the beginning of today's message, I had this question. I asked, what motivated you to come to worship here today? The beginning of the answer I told you was I thought this, people, you, me, us, together. But like you know, as we've experienced during this COVID crisis, we can hear the word of God over the internet. We can go anywhere. But it's when finally people do get together in person around God's word, around his gifts, it could be the truest reason why people come together. Together with one another, God gives us his word of new life. And together we receive this transforming promise, spoken, sung. We receive it physically through the water of baptism. We receive it physically through the bread and wine that is the body and blood of Christ. And though there are various reasons why people choose to come to church, more than anything else, we come to worship because here our hearts can be together with other people that love God and other people that God has given new hearts to. And it's inspiring to see the stories of each and every one of you, how God has taken you from various walks of life and brought you together here for this moment. And all of that is held together in his own hand. And when you think about it that way, there is something about worship that's different than anything else in the rest of our lives. Perhaps you belong to an organization, maybe the YMCA or the Kiwanis Club or the Rotary Club, or maybe a Veterans Association or something of the like, a country club, golf club. Maybe you just like to hang out with friends. All those things are good, but it isn't there, and it shouldn't be there. And isn't there something different about being together here? Something uniquely special about being with other church members, gathering as God's people to hear his word. You see, that's what's unique about coming together in worship, why we do this together. It's here that God comes through the chosen means of his grace. And what he does is not only give us hearts, but combines our hearts together in one big heart. So if you think about it that way, it's a really good, compelling reason why people choose to come to church, to receive love when it's sometimes very difficult, day by day. Some of you are maybe brokenhearted right now. You're grieving a loss of somebody that you loved. And today's one of the best reasons to be here, to receive God's love. Some of you are grieving a broken relationship, whether it's a spouse or somebody special in your life, a family member. When you're in worship here, God is giving you a love that nobody else can give. And I think that's the reason why people like to come here to Bethlehem in this unique church. It's a big-hearted place full of love, and it should be always. Scripture tells us to love one another from a pure heart. I think that's a compelling reason why people come to churches, to know that none of us have it together. Every single one of us is a sinner, but every single one of us had the opportunity to know God has given us a brand new start, a brand new heart, a second chance, an ability to love, even love those that aren't in this building today. You see, Jesus is not content to hold us only in his hand as we look at this logo, our hearts in his hand. God isn't content with just churchy people. He wants all people to know his love, and he reaches out his hand to do just that. When a leper met Jesus and begged to be healed, what do you think he did? Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. When another man's daughter died, Jesus took her by the hand and said to her, "Little girl, I see to you, arise." And she came back to life. When Peter even tried to walk on water, he got so scared he began to sink. And you know what Jesus did? He immediately stretched out his hand in love and took hold of him. And Jesus does the same for you and I. He takes little children in his arms, he blesses them, lays his hands on them, and gives you love. Today, Jesus reaches out his hand to you, as he does each and every time we come to worship. He reaches out his hand to us, all of us who have diseased hearts and who desperately need a new heart. And he does something else. He invites us to do that for another person today. There's going to be somebody today that needs you to reach out your hand in love. And maybe you already have this morning. But there's going to be more and more people that need us, need this church, need you as individuals to reach out your hand in love. And maybe even, just maybe even, give a heart, give your heart to them. And when that happens, we see the heart of God start beating even stronger in this place, in your homes, in your schools, in your jobs. But what is a pure heart? What is a heart that we have to give? It's one that watches and ponders what God says and replaces our own ideas with God's word. And I pray that describes each of you today. How can I love somebody the way God loves me? And when you attempt to show that kind of love, watch out and see what God's about to do. He not only builds churches, he builds communities, he builds families, he builds relationships. And I pray that describes each of you today. Now, especially the women out there, and members of the LWML, the Lutheran Women in Mission, thank you for that continual showing of your love, your example, and your encouragement. I hope we all take this logo home, this idea of hands and hearts together to transform one another with that forgiveness that only comes through the heart of God. And today, as we finish this time of worship together, know that God makes us a big-hearted church, a big-hearted church that extends our hands, his hand, to every single person in need. As Scripture says, above all, keep on loving one another from a pure heart. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds into the one true faith, and to life everlasting. Amen.